welcome to the Max Show. Wow, what a week it's been.
Tell me about it.
Oh, mate. So we had the trip to the Mac to the Apple Genius last week, and we took the Mac SE, and then I wrote a post, and it got up on a couple of sites, and a couple of places have picked it up, and then the Mac Observer wrote about it, and then Apple World Today wrote about it, and then the Daily Mirror wrote about it, and it's all gone mental. It's in New Zealand, it's in Czechoslovakia and Poland and Germany. You've got an article on it as well, and it's all gone vertical. So thanks to everyone who's retweeted and all that kind of stuff as well, which is really, really cool.
By Sunday, you'll have groupies, Ewan.
Yeah, no. We might have a few more listeners this week, so chaps, don't talk shit like normal, okay?
Now you tell us.
Joining me, top left, it's Dot Rock. How you doing, brother? Hello? Oh, dude. Hello?
Oh.
We lose him?
Yo, I know, I thought it went, I went south for a second, but it caught itself back up. Anyway, I'm doing fantastic. Oh, wait, you can see the dirty laundry. I forgot to pull down the veil.
That's all right. Are you busy?
No, you know, there might be some people that watch the show that think that, you know, us nerds keep a nice house. Actually, it's just my office, so it doesn't really matter. Oh, look at that. It's perfect.
Yeah, it nearly covers the wall.
Yeah. I just wanted to know whether it was underwear day or coloreds day.
Hey, we use African-American now.
Oh, no. You didn't.
Sorry, I had to. If you leave a hanging pitch across the middle of the plate, I'm going to knock that pitch over the wall.
I'm a little out of step here.
Anyway,
it's been a while since I've been on.
I'm actually glad that we have a nice show with a whole bunch of folks on it, so it's going to be fun.
Well, which show's that? Oh, sorry, mate. Yeah, yeah. Next to him, taking a slug of coffee. I timed that perfectly. I tell you what, this is slick, isn't it? Adam, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
How's life?
We're batting down the hatches.
Why? Here. What's happening? What's happening? What's coming in?
6.5 inches of rain and 23-mile-an-hour winds. I don't know, something like that.
Now, you're underground in a broom cupboard, aren't you? So are you at risk?
Yeah, well, no, I'm in the bunker.
You're in the bunker, right, okay. Wear the nice shoes, watch out for the Wicked Witch, and just chant, I want to be back in.
We get to test. I had my drains, like, last time when it was raining, and my drains were all overflowing, so I had them cleared out, so we get to test them today. So
I thought that was going to be a euphemism then, but it is actually drains.
He cleared the pipes.
Next to him in Germany, Patrice, how you doing, mate?
Not too bad. I have a crazy week behind me, ended on a big bang, but let's not talk about that.
Can you talk about the big bang or not?
No, I can't.
Oh, okay. It's all right. Fair enough, mate.
Business related.
Oh.
Okay.
Fair enough. What's so funny about that, Patrice, is that I told you I just started rewatching all the Big Bang, and I made it up to like series 5, and we've come to the conclusion that Sheldon is Patrice and Sheldon's girlfriend is Katie Floyd.
I hope not.
What are you saying about Katie like?
I hope I'm more Leonard than Sheldon, to be honest.
talking to Sheldon, Kyle, how you doing, mate?
Really? Really? No, I'm good. Yeah, it's been busy weekend actually coming up, so.
Well, you got an echo, Kyle.
No, he hasn't. Not with my earphones, anyway, so now I'm the only one that counts. It's NBA, because you're the voice of the NBA. So
over here,
it's NBA. Is it the All-Star?
All-Star weekend.
So it's not an important match, then?
No, not really, no.
It's important.
There's no bearing whatsoever.
It's important enough for
a lot of fun.
It's important enough for Manitok to get a freebie over to America.
TJ is in New Orleans right now.
He's exactly.
The lucky get. Yeah, the lucky get, as we say. He's in New Orleans right now, trying to catch beads, I'm sure.
I followed him again this week. Tell him I followed him again, because I couldn't cope with the Trump tweet, so I unfollowed him and I followed him back. So
okay.
He's calmed down a bit now. And last but by no means least, I hope you've got a note where you've been, mate. It's Chuck Latonis.
I was just going to say, I guess all has been forgiven, whatever it was that I did that got me banned from the show for the last couple of months. So
no, you didn't get banned.
I'm sorry.
Well, we didn't get banned. We got moved to Thursday, didn't we? That was the thing.
Yes, that was it. Yep.
And Thursday's not a good day for you.
It is not. It is not. It's not a good day to be able to stay out of the office. But today worked out perfectly, so I'm very, very happy to be back.
How are Fridays going forwards? Good?
Friday should be pretty good going forward, yeah.
Okay. Go back to the every other week thing? Or?
Let's give it a shot. I'd love to.
Brilliant.
Why don't you just put him on the spot right now, Ewan?
because we're live, he can't say was
that. Right, the contract's in the mail.
No, the contract's a PDF and it's in your Skype window. You need to sign it and send it back before the end of the show.
Okay.
The Week in Apple, what's been going on, what's been happening, and what's the big shiz that's taken the headlines? First one, WWDC goes to San Jose.
I think
that's quite a story because it's... I mean, WDC's not a story, is it? But, I mean, the date's not a story, but the location is. I mean, the 2002 they were there and they moved to the wonderfully convention-friendly San Francisco.
Yeah, exactly. I think, I mean, this totally makes sense. I'm surprised that they didn't do it earlier. I think they stuck with San Francisco as long as they could, but, I mean...
Is this going to mean
it's closer
more
to
tickets?
Campus. It's cheaper.
Yeah, but is this going to mean more tickets?
No, the same number. Apple already announced that. This is the same number. What was it? 5,000 tickets and 1,000 engineers.
So yep. Why haven't they done what I said and just hired a few football stadiums across America and stuff?
Because of the access to the engineers. They give the developers access to Apple employees, and so you can only support so many people.
Yeah.
No, but I get that. That's fine. Totally. But what about, because we have got Skype and other services, like FaceTime, good grief. And you could have a Q&A session with a remote station somewhere, and you could have a convention center somewhere else in America where you could have some devs who could live chat with, you could do, good grief, you could use like Colloquy or something like that, an IRC chat where you could ask some questions.
I have a better idea.
One at a time.
More than one call.
So who's going to start first? Doc, start off.
I said the first thing you need to do is fix FaceTime so I can support more than one call. It's super irritating that you can only do one at a time.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, true.
After all of these years, that's all I'm saying. It's like it's been long enough now.
Yes.
And we had it when it was iChat. So, like, why not put it back, damn you? Like, I need it. Very often I need it, but it just doesn't do that. So I got to rely on Skype, which many times I'd like to castrate.
Yes.
Yeah. Go on, Carl. You had a point.
Oh, no, I'll just go off what Doc was going to say. We'll probably have that feature in iPhone 9, probably.
I have a better idea for how Apple could do it. I mean, they have the new spaceship campus with, I mean, the big area in the middle and everything. I mean, that whole space must host, I don't know, 10, 20,000 people. So why not do an open-air WWDC?
Yeah.
It doesn't rain that much in California anyway, so...
That's not the point of WWDC, though.
Right.
You know, the whole idea is that it is small. I think changing it like that would change the whole dynamic of what it is. And yeah, it sucks that not every developer that can go gets to go or wants to go can go. But I think it's the right way to run that conference. There's been too many conferences that just get blown so huge and they just lose what they are. So I think if it got that big, you'd have developers complaining that they literally didn't want to go anymore because it just didn't offer the benefits that WWDC does right now.
Yeah, it's the hands-on aspect that I think really makes it special and worthwhile for the developers who are there. But, let's not forget Apple has opened up all the videos to it. And if you just want to watch, you can do that from pretty much anywhere. The other nice thing is that, you're not stuck in a 4x4 closet that sells as a hotel room anymore in San Francisco for $400 a night. So I think that's going to help some of the indie developers too.
Yeah,
you mean
that's actually a good point. I mean, that's actually a good point. I mean, that it's probably more accessible to developers now because it's cheaper. I mean, a lot of developers were simply not going or complaining about it. I mean, the ticket was $1,500, and then I mean there was another $3,000-$4,000 just for hotel and getting there. Right. And that made it basically for indie developers especially impossible to go. And those were the people that probably benefited the most or would have benefited the most. So I think this move also makes that a little bit easier. It will still be a lot of money for some of them, but it's more accessible than before.
Getting into San Jose isn't quite as easy, though, as it, as San Francisco would have been, I think. That is one downside. If you're flying in from out of town, it'll be a little, logistically, a little bit more difficult.
You'd still have to fly into San Francisco, right?
No, you can fly to San Mateo and then catch the train. It's, I mean, when I used to have to go to campus, like, our literal route was fly to San Mateo, get off the thing, you know, put the bags away, go across the street to In-N-Out Burger, have a quick In-N-Out, and get back in, jump on the train. It takes about 40 minutes on the train, take you smack dead to the heart of San Jose.
I knew that Doc's story on how to travel around America had to include a burger joint on the way. Irrelevant completely, but it had to be in there. The thing that gets me is that clearly there is a market for the off-conf because it's already being fulfilled by a third party. And there was a huge debate over the videos and that kind of stuff for Alt. But Apple, this is not like the NFL saying we're not going to sell tickets until the stadium's full. That stadium is going to be full. It's going to be overflowing. And there's been loads of people who would be quite happy to pay Apple some money for a reduced access experience as long as they had some questioning facility that was available. And it doesn't mean that every question's got to be asked. There just means to be that there's a filter process that takes place where people can ask questions and then someone can say, okay, so we've had a question from so-and-so who's in the Giants Stadium in New York, and here's what he wants to know. And it would work just fine. You've got tons of venues that aren't being used in NFL stadiums. You'd get tons of people that would go to them, and you would get loads and loads of developers across the world who could dial in, who could interact, who could get some level of interaction with Apple, and Apple would get money for it because the market is there. They're missing out.
You want something like Woodstock. Is that what you're talking about, Ewan? It's like Apple stuff.
That would be cool.
Everybody just getting 3 days of peace, love, and Macs, man.
Wait, isn't Macs
stock
there?
Nerd stock. I like nerd stock. That's
nerd stock.
Nerd stock. There you go.
I'd like to give a big up to Mr. Sachs in the chat. He had a great comment, and I 100% agree that 2017, you think the internet audio video stuff would be totally sorted out by
exactly
now.
Exactly my point. And
they have that.
True.
They have that. You can get every session as a developer through the app on your Apple TV, and you can watch every session. And they put them up pretty quickly. They're not live, but
No. They're good. They're really good at that. I absolutely bow to them. They are significantly good at that.
Yeah. So, and just before I get a bunch of emails, I do know that San Jose has an international airport. I think it's just a little bit more expensive to fly into.
It is more expensive to fly into because no major airlines uses it as a hub. That's what makes it expensive, some not expensive.
I can't remember what we had, but we used to have a TV series about something that was an international hub, and it was like I can't remember what it was, but it was a sitcom, and it was something international station, and it was just basically, you know, the average station in a local town, but they put international on it to make it sound bigger and all that kind of stuff.
We have one like that. I think it has 8 gates, and Allegiant Air flies out of it, and there are rocking chairs in the waiting area. And I mean, just because you say international doesn't make it so.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I know international airports with 2 gates.
You can have international status as long as there's no donkey transfers.
Well, as long as one plane flies in from Canada, you're international, right?
There you go.
Yeah. exactly.
There's some places in Texas, if it flies in from Kentucky, it's international. is San Jose good enough for the bar culture that goes along with WWDC?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
I've never been to San Jose, so...
No, here's the thing. It's all about the after parties that all these companies and developer teams and things are hosting anyway. Yeah. So all they need is spaces, you know, that they can rent out, really.
Yeah.
And so in a lot of ways, it'll probably make it better because with San Francisco, you have a lot of extra nightlife that if people don't want to bother, they're going to run off, you know, in their little groups wherever they might want to go. So I like it when a show is at a place where there's not a lot of nightlife going on because it sort of forces everybody to kind of stay together and participate in the event that they're there for.
I think about it because the average nightlife is us, right? We all just get turned up at the Chieftain, which is about the size of the room I'm in right now. You know, it's not that big, but you find all of us packed into the corner with some random foreign libation in hand. getting out of hand about old school Mac nostalgia. So, I mean, that's really the majority of the nightlife that's needed in such a situation.
Yeah, and that was one point I think Jim Dalrymple made in his announcement of this move. He basically said, because it's not that expensive and because it's not in San Francisco, more people can probably also participate because they can't afford the crazy prices or they simply don't get any hotel rooms. They don't have to travel out that far. So you can actually participate and you don't have to leave because you have to travel, I don't know, 2 hours, 3 hours to your hotel.
Has the Alt Conference made any announcements yet? Are they going to be out there in San Jose too? Do we know what they're doing?
I would imagine they're going to follow along. I have not seen an announcement, but it seems logical. Yeah. Because the whole purpose of that conference is to handle a lot of the overflow, I think,
right,
for people who can't get into WWDC.
So. My point entirely.
They could. Another thing, you know, they did do the road thing. Sorry, one last thing. I know they have been doing Take It on the Road thing where they do smaller little sessions in different cities, but they could expand that too. I mean, there's nothing to prevent them from having more regional WWDC conferences. That's the one thing I've been surprised that they haven't opened up. You know, why not do one on the East Coast and one in Europe and one in Australia? You know,
Apple used to do local tech talks and local meetups and stuff like that, but I mean, at least here in Germany, I haven't heard anything in at least 2 or 3 years.
I mean, Apple has big offices in other places where I'm sure there's engineers and developers and things like that.
There are Ireland.
Massive ones in London, so yeah.
I used to get invited to ones in New York all the time, and, you know, they happened in auditoriums that fit, you know, 40 people and it'd be half empty. So, you know, that was back when they needed to do that kind of thing. But, I think there's an opportunity for that. We're also kind of hoping that Macworld might take that track and do some regional smaller conferences and, you know, stay out of hiatus.
To finish this out, you know, it'd be really smart of them, well, not of them, but of some of their other friends in the game. If I'm Adobe or Google or somebody, then I'd be trying to get a hold of some of those developers while they're there too, especially Google, for the fact that there's a lot of apps that could use parity, say on the Android side. And it's like, hey guys, you already have here. Let us do a quick little conference to show you how to convert it to get you up on Google Play. So, you know, you can add a little bit more parity for some of the smaller apps.
Yeah.
I mean, down the street.
There's thoughts there, isn't there? I mean, Apple do really well. I'm not slagging Apple off. I think they do really well for developers. I think they do really well for kind of trying to get the message out. And the streaming of stuff has been good, and the videos up and that kind of stuff. So I'm not slagging it off, but I'm just saying maybe there's another leaf that can be added to that. So there we go. Apple is taking on wireless, allegedly. They've joined the QI consortium. That's not going to be... that's not in debate. And the suggestion is that iPhone 7S is coming, iPhone 8 is coming. iPhone 7S is going to have glass, is going to have steel, whereas iPhone 8 is going to be all glass, and iPhone 8 is going to have fast charging wirelessly. Which I've got to say, and this is purely anecdotal.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone that doesn't think that wireless charging is shit.
Yeah, there's an alternative option for why Apple joined them. As far as I know, their Apple Watch charging is, I mean, it is custom, but it is heavily based on QI. So maybe that's why they are joining it, so that they can influence the action there a little bit more.
So you think?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think wireless has definitely come to the phone, but just them joining the consortium doesn't mean that it's happening imminently. It could be for the more to the watch right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's coming to the phone. I think it's just ending up being an option for people. I mean, it's an accessory that Apple's going to sell. It's not going to be in the box. You're going to have an option. Yeah. I also believe it's just like the Apple Watch. It's going to be proprietary. So to Patrice's point, you know, they implemented a tweaked version of the QI charging for the Apple Watch. It's encrypted so they can lock it to their devices, which is classic Apple, you know, and I know people don't like that, but I mean, that's how they roll, because they want to be in full control of the experience and what's happening. So
the only thing to me, and this is, you know, to pile on to what Ewan was saying, the thing about wireless charging is it's not freaking wireless. If I have to take you to a designated spot and stick it on a designated thing, that is not any slower or faster than sticking it in a designated hole at the bottom. So that to me is super dumb. Now, if I could just take it and toss it somewhere in the general vicinity of said designated thing, I'm feeling a little better about that. Mm-hmm. You know? But like literally just going and docking it somewhere, that doesn't, it was a cute idea. And I hate when they are not really forced into, but strongly coerced into following suit to something that for all intents and purposes is highly trivial and was initially designed to sell against them. But now it's one of those features that every phone has except them. So it's like, you know, am I donning this suit because I have to or because it's really going to do something? And that's not like Apple to do stuff that doesn't really do something.
See, my thought here my thought, sorry, go on, Carl.
Oh, no, I was just going to say I completely agree with Doc. I mean, and it is like having a dock. It is exactly, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, we've had wireless charging since 2007 then, when the first iPhone came out. You know, the dock that came with it, remember that?
And it's all shit. And,
And I don't know.
You can't defend it.
They're going into the gimmick.
Well, don't see. Now, here's the I've got two thoughts in my head. Number one, they're going to do something with wireless, which is completely different because that's Apple, and that would be cool. That would be good, and thank you very much. Apple, I already have to carry enough dongles and cables and wires around. I don't want a pad that comes on that I'm going to have to stick onto the thing. Two.
And then you have to carry it with you.
True wireless charging is like 5 years away. It's just not. It's not viable, despite what Energys is out there trying to show off. It's that's garbage. You want to say that the on pad wireless charging is garbage? As far as Energys is right now, I mean, you've got to have a huge, massive transmitter. It's incredibly slow. You know, you think wireless charging is slow charging. The true wireless charging at this point is so incredibly slow. Apple's not ready to roll that out yet, for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's at least 2 or 3 years away.
Yeah, I agree. But the benefit in it comes from being able to just walk around in your house and have it charged because you're near the pad, not because you're setting it on it.
Yes.
But when that happens, believe me, I'm taking my phone out of my front pocket. That's for sure.
Three.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, the transmitter is the size of a home theater sound bar, and that gets you, what, 10 feet, 15 feet? You have to be within 10 or 15 feet for something that huge.
Three. Right?
Four.
I'm still on my sodding list, you bastards. It's my show.
Sorry.
Three, right? All they're doing is that there's going to be a wireless charging point that will be somewhere in the shell. That means that when you go into somewhere that offers wireless charging, instead of having to shove a dongle in to get the wireless charging to work like you do in Starbucks at the moment, you'd just be able to toss your phone on the table and bang, someone can steal it under a map when they ask you directions. There you go. That was my thought. I don't think it's to do with...
Sorry, Ewan.
No, I don't think it's to do with... If Apple are going to do it, they've got to do something that's better than what's out there on the market because it's all shit. And they know it's all shit, and they'll say it's all shit. Or they've got to just give you an option that says when you go somewhere where there is wireless, you can charge because it's a standard.
Yeah. Anyway. Trust me, if it wasn't shit, Apple would have already done it. I'm pretty sure about that.
It's just like Bluetooth, right? You know, Apple didn't jump in on Bluetooth headphones until they figured out a way to do it better. And now we have AirPods.
Yeah.
Well, and this is exactly why I think we're hearing the stories we're hearing now about them sort of possibly falling back on the contact charging. Because I think you're right, Ewan. They had been working with Energys. You know, we had all those rumors. And I think they were actively very interested in trying to implement that technology. And just when they got into it with them and saw how the system was and where it was at and where the FCC approvals and all those things are, I think they went, wow, this isn't ready for prime time, and this isn't how we want to launch this experience. And so, you know, they're going with the contactless charging, I guess, as an option, just an option for people.
Yeah, Mr.
Sachs. And some people want it. I mean, it's a feature that at this point, you know, like a lot of things, like moving to the large phone, there's just enough people that want that. You know, I know we're not all fans of it, but there's enough people that want it that... Hey, here's a bullet point we can tick off and give to you. And I know that's typically not Apple, but I think they're at that point where the competition, it's one of those things that a lot of people are pointing to. It's like, well, all these other phones have wireless charging. Why don't you?
Yeah. So do you think part of it is that, you know, it's harder and harder to come up with huge innovations on the phones? So, you know, Apple's kind of looking for something to do.
I don't think they are, because I think they would do, they wouldn't do something that they could get criticized for afterwards openly and easily, which this would be one of those things. Mr. Sachs says, IKEA have been selling furniture that's got wireless chargers in it for ages, and it seemed to work really well with his Nexus 5. That's fine, but it's I don't want to carry around a pad. I want my cable if I go out to work with a charger. That's okay, but I'm not interested in having a big. I mean, when I had the wireless charging system for the Windows Phone, I love my Windows Phone. I enjoyed it immensely, but I hated the charging. It was a pain in the ass.
On the furniture thing too, I just want to point out you still have a target on that table, so you have a you have a 15-inch round table, you still got to get your phone on the, you know, one spot that's 2 inches around.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's not like you could just throw it down anywhere on the table and have it charge.
But did you see the wireless charging off Wi-Fi? So your Wi-Fi network is capable of sending out a wireless charge, and because of the frequency that it's at, you don't need to be. You just need to be in the catchment area of the Wi-Fi, and the closer you are to the Wi-Fi point, then the greater the charge capacity is going to be, and the further away, the less it is. But basically, if you stand next to your Wi-Fi, it will trickle to your phone from your Wi-Fi.
Can I just say trickle two words or three words? Fuck you, Edison. Sure.
Oh, come on. I got to edit now. What's that?
It's all his fault. You know, had Tesla won the game, we'd all have wireless charging now. I mean, it would have been in development since for hundreds of years now.
28 minutes.
Edit point.
Fudge. Oh. 7S. Here's the thing, right? I don't get open conversation here. The rumors, and I know they're rumors, so steady on. But the iPhone 7S is coming. It's going to look exactly like the current 7 is, but it's going to have an S on it and a bigger processor maybe and all that kind of shiz. But they're going to make that and release that potentially in an event in September. But they're going to push an 8 out at the same time, which is made out of glass.
I don't see it either. I think what it's going to be is we're going to get an 8. What I've seen from rumors and everything else, we'll have an 8, 4.7, we'll have an 8, 5.5, and then we're going to have this special 8 that's going to be the new design and the glass and the wireless charging probably feature and all the new bells and whistles you can't live without that'll be more expensive. That's 5.8 inches.
So you are saying two steels and one...
Yes.
And one glass.
No. Yes. You know where this rumor is coming from? Apple, that's already known, when they do more complicated devices, so really big changes, they have usually two devices in line. One is more in the line of what they've already done, and one is more the crazy one that they actually wanna do and where there might be an issue that they haven't foreseen. And I think that's what we're seeing right now. We have the more 7-like device that they could sell if the 8 doesn't really work out. But the goal is to have the 8 with the full features and only sell that. I think that's what we're seeing here. I don't see Apple doing two different devices. I mean, other than selling the old ones off.
I don't see the point in 3. Yeah. I really don't see the point in 3.
Me neither.
In three sizes?
Three sizes and two manufacturing techniques and two materials. I don't get that, because in terms of tooling, it sends your tooling through the roof.
They did it with the 6 to the 5S. I mean, 6S to the 5S. So I agree with Patrice. When you're going to do a massive changeover, sometimes it's easier to kind of like halfway lift up the Band-Aid instead of just rip it off. So for them to do a combination of both to allow the... you know, bleeding edgers like us to jump on is one thing, but then you can keep your normal people somewhere with a, you know, just a satisfactory bump. So that makes the most logic sense.
Doc, that wasn't my point. My point was that the 2 is basically the fallback device that they will sell if the 8 doesn't come through for some reason.
Yes.
There are some production issues or anything.
Oh, go on, Adam.
The rumors are too strong at this point that they're doing 3 phones and that the 4.7 and the 5.5 are the traditional design, and then they have this new design one. The only thing that I'm buying into from what you're saying, Ewan, is that I don't think there's going to be different names for all of them. I think they're all going to be called an iPhone 8. I think the only reason we're hearing iPhone 7S and 7S Plus is because the media needed a way to differentiate between the different models when we're talking about them. That was purely made up by media just trying to resolve, okay,
fake
how do
news.
We communicate?
And you know what's the good thing?
It's alternative phones.
Chuck's turn.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's not completely unheard of. I mean, they did the same thing with the 5C. They're doing it right now with the iPhone SE. So, you know, maybe there is going to be some kind of fashion-forward leading phone, and then if there's a big enough demand, they're still going to have some of the more traditional ones that they're going to, you know, make a ton of money on. I don't think it's completely out of the question.
You know what's good? We'll see in September. We will know.
That's right.
Thank you.
Are we going to talk about this touch bar thing, Ewan? Because that's the one thing that there's a couple things that throw a monkey wrench.
Is this the smart keyboard one?
No, the Ming-Chi Kuo saying that the 8 is not going to have this home button, that it's going to have this function bar.
Yeah, I predicted this. I predicted this.
Yeah, so you've got this thing here. I did do a thing for it. It's an OLED screen, three different sizes, but the sensor is going to be in the display, isn't it, or something?
Like this, there's like this separate function area. So even though you have a 5.8 inch physical OLED display, the active area is only going to be about 5.15, 5.2 inches. And then you have this thing on the bottom. What was interesting to me about this is a bunch of people were saying, well, there's no home button, right? Or there's no touch ID sensor, and that maybe it's going to be optical facial recognition or a retinal scanner, both of which I think are completely stupid. In terms of bio recognition, because I think the Touch ID makes the most sense. It's fast, it's easy.
Well, hang on. I think there's a bit of a deal been done with the FBI here, because if you get your suspect, you can show your face to your suspect to the phone, and it unlocks it, and you haven't got to go through getting court orders and that kind of stuff.
So... where I'm trying to get with this, and I want to get your guys' opinion on, because nobody said this, Ming-Chi Kuo hasn't said this, about this function by Raya, but when I saw that image, I immediately went, wow, that's a freaking mini touch bar.
That's exactly, yes. And took the words right out of my mouth.
MacBook Pro touch bar has a touch ID sensor on it. It's just integrated into the touch bar. So you could have an ID sensor and then two, like, software addressable OLED buttons on that thing and have it be completely seamless. Potentially.
Or it could be just reserved for emojis.
And I don't know that that's what Apple's doing with it, but that's interesting to me, you know? I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that it's...
So what are they going to do?
No, you're not the only one, definitely, Adam, because we had a prediction thingy for a few weeks ago on Mac, and I said the same thing, that this would happen.
There's going to be a touch bar.
I said that. You can go back and...
I don't disbelieve you. I'm asking. That's fine. It's all right. Just a yes would be fine.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So there's going to be a touch bar on the phone.
Yeah.
That's going to do what?
All your emojis.
Just emojis.
Yeah. And I think it'll act just like it does on the MacBook Pro. It will have certain programs with certain apps. It will be an extension of your screen, like a secondary screen.
It's a mouse pad.
Yeah. It's a mouse.
There's going to be a cursor on the iPhone 8.
Oh, yes.
As opposed to a curse.
And although, I would rather have that than wireless charging. It's at least it's something new. It's something different. It would make the experience different for iOS.
Doc, what does TWSS mean?
That's what she said.
Oh, right.
Because
okay.
Adam said it's a small little touch bar.
Oh boy, can we also talk about this rumor about retinal scanning? Does anybody want freaking retinal scanning?
No.
To unlock their phone versus a touch ID sensor?
No. I want
let me unlock my, hold on, let me unlock my phone.
I don't want retinal scanning.
Retinal scanning is not going to work for us these bespectacled cats.
Yeah, so you've got problems with where to hold it for that. Because, I mean, that's the trouble, is you're going to have some kind of device that holds it at the correct distance and the correct alignment to see through a pupil. And if you're in a bright area, that pupil's going to be quite small, which is going to be an issue. And also, you're talking about releasing then, you're talking about having data, which is actually used for entry into countries being available to people, which that's something that the border agencies are going to be a little bit more reticent about, I think.
Yeah. I think the funniest I've ever seen, there needs to be an iCup. So will it come with a little iCup accessory that you put over the, so then you can unlock your phone?
So this literally happened this week to a buddy of mine. And in Jerome's office, our other friend, they decided to add retinal scanning to this room for the servers because they're doing some sort of high-end data stuff for the state tax office. So they put this retina scan in, and let's just put this in parentheses. Hawaii is 78.3% Asian, and two of the guys in the office had a hard time getting it in. So retina scanning technology is not necessarily ready for all types of humans, because right now two of his buddies have a hard time getting in and out of the server room because of the retina scan. So just imagine that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm having a hard time figuring out what biometric problem this is trying to solve.
Yes. Right.
I think the facial recognition could go somewhere, because actually Apple's facial recognition for their photos is pretty good. So you could see that translating into a camera-oriented operation, most definitely. That's going to happen. Well,
facial recognition could be a great, also secondary biometric that they could combine with the fingerprint to make it more secure, right? I mean, you could take the two together.
Two-face authentication.
You know, for those times, like, the touch ID sensor is like, I'm not quite sure that fingerprint scan, because your finger was wet or you got a cut on your finger or something like that. I'm not quite sure that's 100%. But if you added in a second layer of facial recognition and it happened at the same time, then you could maybe validate somebody who was maybe, like, on the edge. So, you know what I'm saying?
So going back to the privacy discussion before, is the purpose of that because you can be compelled to enter your password, but you can't be compelled. No, it's opposite. So never mind. That wouldn't even work.
Right.
So, I'm even more against this. It's just silly.
I think because they can use facial recognition for other things, right? There's game applications, there's augmented reality applications, there's all these other sorts of things that you could do that would be interesting. Plus, it's another biometric that makes sense to potentially add to the phone.
And porn. Mm. Yeah, porn too.
Yes. Teledildonics, as our other buddy likes to say. What's that guy's
wrong
name
show,
from Denver? I forgot his name already. Jeff.
Maybe facial recognition is how we finally get multiple accounts on an iOS device like an iPad.
I was thinking that too, but why not just use the fingerprint for that, you know? Depending on who's
because
who's
it doesn't open a profile, it opens the device to a single profile. Whereas if with the facial recognition, you get profiles as well. You could open to separate profiles now, I guess, if they just bothered to do it. But
that's what I mean.
Yeah,
you don't need facial recognition or retina display to do, or retina scan to do that.
Well, that's an interesting thing, because
by the way.
Well, a lot of people now have got the coffee table iPad because it controls the smart home, you know, the lighting, the Apple TV, that kind of stuff. So the thing is, you don't want, you know, I'll put my four-year-old's daughter's thumbprint in there. She knows how to open it with the thumbprint recognition. But now she's into all of my emails and could type a gobbledygook email to a customer potentially. Whereas actually what you'd like to do is when she puts her thumb on it, it comes up with a very simplified interface that says, this is all you can do.
Yep. Take a worry. Mm-hmm. I'd rather see that than wireless charging too.
Another thing about facial recognition with home automation is it can recognize the person who's in the room. And imagine if you had multiple accounts on, say, like an Apple TV, you could even have, you know, your profiles for your channels and your apps that you like, and it could automatically bring those up for you. Yeah. It could automatically set all the lighting and the sound system the way that each individual person wants it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some cool kind of stuff that can happen.
Adam, but what happens if there are three people in front of the TV?
It's kind of almost there with Xbox. Like, Xbox knows when I start the Xbox versus when Emma starts the Xbox, because I do have things in there that she can do, but she can't play my other games. Like, she's not allowed to play anything that requires a weapon. But she plays the living crap out of Dance, Ultimate Dance, or whatever the heck it is. and she gets a kick out of beating uncle and dancing. But when she comes in, if we walk in at the same time, Xbox does get confused and it goes, okay, who's running the show? It actually asks that question.
That's good.
So to speak, it's like, mm-hmm. Okay, who am I looking at? And it'll say, you know, Emma or Doc, and then you pick the right controller. You know what sure. I mean? So it knows that we're different, but it doesn't know who to give the controls to. You know what I mean? So if we're, because like I could be in there just using my laptop, and then she's yelling at me, get out of the screen because I'm messing up her score on the dancing game. You know what I mean? So, yeah. I mean, Xbox didn't intentionally do it, but they did it just so you can pick who's the right player. So they got part of it lit. So I understand where Adam's going with that.
Yeah. So let me ask it this way. Is facial recognition cheaper to implement than the fingerprint scanner? And if so, does that help make the case for this to become more ubiquitous, like we're saying? So, you know, you can do facial recognition yeah. for your HomeKit hub or your Apple TV to do all the things that Adam was saying
I
in
say
a way
yes,
that's
because they
easier than fingerprints.
Team, which is the reason why my Xbox does what it does. They basically took those dudes. So, in theory, they're already there because those guys already did it.
I mean, there's an interesting point here from Lee in the chat room. He's saying iOS badly needs multi-users. Totally agreeing yes. with us. But he's also saying... we cannot get rid of Touch ID, and I'm going to second that because I've got I've got Touch ID on my iPad main, and I've got Touch ID on my phone. I've got an iPad Air in the front that sits on my exercise bike, and when I try and open that up, I sit for hours, just like put my thumb on there, and then it slowly right. sinks in what a twat I am, and I need to actually swipe it and put in a key number. And yeah. it's like, oh, you idiot, you know. But Touch ID has got to be on every device now. I'm sorry,
yes.
Apple, no. You cannot get rid of that. Otherwise, I will lose it.
I agree. Although my laptop opens
said about
up with my watch
user.
Now.
I mean, this has been my one of my pet peeves ever since the iPad came out. I mean, I don't personally need it yet, at least. But I totally see the use case there, and I want it. I mean, it was from day one. When I saw the iPad, I said, okay, this will be something that you hand over to multiple people. This has to have multi-user. It never got it. I mean, for 5 years now.
Yep.
7 years totally. Now.
Yeah, seven and years. You want the profile
I'm
thing.
I'm stuck on Patrice like, said yeah. yet. Like, are you pregnant?
No, I'm not. But, I mean, I'm planning on having a family eventually, so.
Planning. Wait. Oh, go on. Go on. You got a point? Go on, finish it off. Doc, no? Anything? No?
No.
Okay. Planet, I can edit. Planet of the Apps is here.
Yes, Planet of the Apes, the apps.
There's a trailer. It's Dragon's Den, but not. And it's it's The Voice, but not.
Project Runway.
And it's interesting, but not.
But not.
I mean, the title.
I really think it's not for us. Is the problem?
It's not for us. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I was going to say that.
Is it for then?
Well,
I know. So, I got it.
The YouTube. It's for the YouTube generation,
right?
It's for the people who watch The Voice and Project Runway and all those others.
Yeah, who have it in their head that like developing an app is this super, super difficult thing and only a handful of people can do it. It's the same reason why Shark Tank works so good. Entrepreneurialism, right. for all intents and purposes, is relatively easy. It just requires you to do something. But there's so many people that don't do it because there's always told by other people, no, you got to get a job, you got to keep the healthcare, you got to do whatever. So in certain parts of the country, and especially here in my state, entrepreneurialism is considered some kind of hero maneuver. So that's why like Shark Tank and Dragon's Den and all these people who quote unquote made it overnight, it's never overnight. They've only been 12 years of beating their head in the ground, you know, or even the apps that really, really take off. There's rare apps that are written by one dude in the basement that do really, really well. And those are your, like, you know, Red Sweater or, like, Brett Terpstra or, like, Jesse Grosten or whatever. Those kind of guys here and there. But for the most part, they're massive teams with lots and lots of money. So this is just to do that underdog story, whatever. And it's really made for people that don't understand. You know what? You can watch some Swift videos and do it your damn self.
Yeah, I would add one group to that. It's the people, like you said, that think it is super, super hard and it's actually easier, but it's also for the people that think it's super, super easy and everybody can do it to show, okay, it's not that easy. I mean, you have to know your shit. Because I have had my fair share of people said, you're writing an app, I mean, you can do that. That's really easy, right? And they don't get that it's also a lot of work and a lot of hours and knowing what to do and really knowing Swift. So I think it's for both sides, but you're totally right. It's for the people that have no idea what.
I think there is a slight issue in that if you look at the podcast Twitter account, the iTunes podcast Twitter account from Apple, mm-hmm. I think that was when that first came out, I was kind of like, that's great because that's going to give really good exposure to people who need it. And it doesn't.
Yeah.
It gives really good exposure to people who've got blue ticks and who don't need it at all. And it's crass. It is awful. It's really badly done. So when I saw Planet of the Apps, I was kind of like, that's kind of cool because actually it's going to take developers who need a voice, who are going to get some exposure because they're going to be a featured app straight away there. And that's really, really kind of cool. And then I thought to myself, no, it's reality TV. They won't pick people who need it. They'll pick people who are good on camera or pick people who are conflictive, who will make good TV because they're arseholes. That's why Gwyneth Paltrow's on.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we're kind of looking at it the wrong way. It's not that it's about developers and it's going to give more exposure to the developer industry or anything. It's more about what kind of TV it is. And to me, it could be on any cable channel right now, you know, the same ones who air Shark Tank and Chopped and all those kinds of things. And to me, that makes it less compelling as Apple's first entree into original content programming. When Amazon came out, I think it was Amazon, right, who came out with House of Cards, it was very different than what you would normally see
Netflix.
Broadcast TV. Yeah. And this is just kind of, you know, same old, same old to me.
Yeah.
You guys are thinking
what's more interest? Go ahead, Adam.
Go on.
Sorry, I was just going to say, first of all, this is for YouTube generation nerds and those sorts of people to get them to subscribe and buy Apple Music. This is about selling, both of these programs are about selling Apple's music service to a certain community. And Apple's already sort of come out and talked about the fact that this is also about differentiating Apple Music service from other pure streaming music services. This is Apple turning Apple Music into an MTV sort of thing. So these two programs are specifically in that genre. So I think it's not really fair to compare that to, say, something like Netflix original programming. That's a whole separate initiative that we're just hearing about now that Apple is getting into. And they are going to start to produce, I think, more scripted series and original movies, potentially. Again, I have opinions about feeling like they shouldn't do that, but it's sounding like they are going to do that, and that's something separate and different. So I don't think it's fair to make that comparison.
Yeah, well, see, that's sort of my point, though. I think it is about trying to sell Apple Music as a service and bring content in and bring viewers in, and I just don't think this looks to me like good enough television to do that kind of thing.
Right. If they wanted to do it correctly, the key to success would have been to do something very similar to Puffy's, or now he's back to Sean Combs. I wish this dude would make up his damn mind. But they need to go back to something like Making the Band. And it sounds crazy because those are super cheesy shows, but right now there are currently like four or five groups that are constantly in the top 50 that came from that show, right? Mm-hmm. One of the biggest right now, Fifth Harmony. Fifth Harmony is basically made up by Puffy and his miscreants, right? So like, the UK is really good at this, you know, Spice Girl and One Direction and, you know, other bands like that were created in this sort of like, let's take all of these kind of semi-talented people that look really good and are great personalities and let's make them into a cohesive group and turn it into a mega hit band. So if I'm going to do that, they should be recreating the Spice Girls or recreating One Direction or Swedish House Mafia or something of that. That's what they should be doing.
And I mean, speaking of music, I mean, what really was more compelling for me was the trailer for Carpool Karaoke, because I mean,
surprised by that.
I didn't expect it because it didn't interest me at all so far. But the trailer is actually very good.
Karaoke.
Karaoke.
Thank you.
I think you've got to be careful that that what you're watching is you know, if you look at the singing contest, the idol contest, those kind of things that come on TV, Simon Cowell in the UK has got half a dozen people that are talented that he knows if he makes a record with them and releases it, they're going to get nowhere in the charts because they're unheard of. So he holds mm-hmm. them back. They turn up at auditions as pundits and then, oh, look, I got through. Well, you were getting through anyway. And then when it comes to the voting on, voting off thing, the judges always get their say and they're always told that, that this one's got to go because this is the one, this is the prodigy I want to market.
It's,
and that's crap. And I like Dragon's Den in the UK because actually I think it does come across as being a little bit more... there's a bit more equity for the people that are on it, that they are being judged on their merits by the questioning and by the presentations that they give. And if that comes through in this, then great. If it doesn't, though, I think they've got real problems with it. I think it'll die a death because it'll be shit.
To be honest, I don't, because I know, I mean, from things I have done, and that, I mean, at the end of the day, they have to create a good, compelling show. And that starts with the people you have in there, but it also starts, I mean, I'm pretty sure that most shows... they know from the beginning which people will get through towards the end, and sometimes they make decisions to keep someone on simply because they make it interesting, and otherwise the show would be boring. So the difficult people that you probably would vote off at the beginning because they are just annoying, they stick around because they make the show interesting, because the rest is not that compelling. So, I mean, you have to keep that in mind. It's always about entertainment. It's never about the outcome. Or the outcome might be secondary, at least.
Yeah. I think Carpool Karaoke is at least honest. It's not trying to promote budding singers. But it's just...
those people are already successful. People see,
I like how they mixed it. I never got into the original thing, which is why I wasn't really interested in it. And
me too.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the original concept was... is James Corden is the host, right? So it's him with a celebrity in a car doing, like, singing and sort of an interview kind of thing. And so I wasn't really sure how they were going to turn that into like a TV show. And so what was interesting to me about seeing the trailer was apparently what they've done is they've flipped it around and it's not always going to just be James Corden. Mm-hmm. They're taking like two celebrities who kind of don't know each other or are from different areas, putting them in a car and sending them on a little mini road trip for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a massive mistake.
Yeah. The trailer
awesome.
Looked interesting to me.
James Corden.
It made it look more interesting.
James Corden is the reason. And James Corden, if you go back 10 years, James Corden was getting pissed, waking up in people's apartments he didn't know, eating cold pizza for breakfast in the morning because he was going nowhere. And then all of a sudden, he just kind of found his footing. He got married, I think. That was a big part of it. And he's just gone vertical from it. And for him to not be part of Copy Karaoke, I think it's a massive mistake.
Yeah, I don't think he's not part of it, but from the looks of it, they mix it up a little bit. I mean, there were parts where he was driving, so.
The chat room is saying a few things here. Rob says Apple's dipping their toe in the arena, then fair enough, but it's just a bang. It's not a bang, it's more of a sizzle, and it's just an advert for Apple and for people to talk about Apple, says Smock. Quite right.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Why not?
It totally. This is all about trying to drive a certain market segment to Apple Music. That's all it is. And again, I will reiterate, we are not that segment. They are not.
No.
You are not 13 to... nobody in here, sorry, is 13 to 25.
Inside. Inside. We've got the Fantasy Photo League running. If you want to join in, it's dead easy. All you got to do is come and join in the Slack room.
Do you
That's
mind
the
if
best.
We listen to some music?
No, it's all right. You carry on. I'll just put just put headphones on. There's a good chap. The Fantasy Photo League's coming, and it's going to be over the whole year. We've already done January. February's still going. The topic this month is self, and it's an assignment every month. So you get an assignment, and you sit for the whole month pondering what you're going to shoot. You get to shoot one shot, send it in. Everybody gets three votes, and they can vote for three other images other than their own in the competition. Then me and Hannah Cousins go through them, and we apply our votes for it. And there's another vote for artistic interpretation of the title. And then at the end, there's a league. Simple as that. And whoever's top of the league ends up potentially winning a DSLR at the end of the year. So send us an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com if you'd like to join in the Fantasy Photo League. This month's topic is self. But you can't shoot a selfie because the topic is self, not selfie. And also, it can't be a picture of you. So it's, or any picture of anyone you know that could lead to divulging who you are. So it's a completely anonymous competition. No one knows the photos. They will know at the end of the year. We'll publish a little booklet or something, a PDF of them all. But at the end of the year, you could win a DSLR. So join in if you possibly can. This podcast and all this is supported by UK2. We say it every week, but they've just renewed all our domains again. We're with them for another 7 years now with domains. We've got another 6 years to run on the servers. So they are in for the long haul. We're going to do a podcast with them, I think, that's coming up as well. We're talking about that at the moment, how it's going to work and what it's going to be and who's going to be on it. But we'll be taking some questions from people potentially about what services they could use, or if they're having trouble with their domain or with their web server, then there'll be some UK2 specialists on that can help answer the question. But that will be coming. It'll only be like a once every 2 weeks or once a month show. But it should be quite entertaining and quite enjoyable. But please support UK2 because they support us, and send us Graham Parker's put, "I'm doing self, but I'm having a mare." Bad luck, mate. And it's a tough title, I have to say. So please support UK2, and please tweet out that thank them for supporting you for British Tech as well, because we'd be lost without them. And Hoyer are coming on the 1st of April. They will get their machine for making and scanning the face and everything through CE marking. And Uniku will come. This is a process that allows you to scan your face, and then from that scan, it will manufacture glasses that are purpose-built. They're bespoke for your face, the correct angle, the correct alignment for your ears, all that kind of stuff has been taken into consideration, and they're going to be phenomenal. As soon as that comes available, I'm going down to get my face scanned, and I will have a pair of those glasses. And if you're sitting thinking, well, I don't want those, I want the Avantex that you've got, the really nice little light ones that don't look like you're hardly wearing them at all, then great, and send an email to podcast@hoyer.co.uk. And they will get you organised. Now, the thing is, a lot of people have done this, and they've written to me later and gone, "Oh, I got some glasses this weekend. I really love them. The Hoyers are great." "Oh, did you write to Mark at podcast@hoyer.co?" No, I didn't need to. I just went into my local opticians. You've got to write to Mark. You write to Mark and tell him you're doing it. He's going to make sure you get the special treatment because you're a BTN listener. And it's all about educating and helping you with what Hoyer will provide you with, and making sure that you're their new salesman, if you like, out on the block, showing your wares off to everyone. They're beautiful, beautiful glasses, well worth having, well worth having. So please support them as well, because they're great. It's time for the cool thing, starting us off, top left, it's Doc.
All right, cool. I got two. One's really fast. If you have Netflix and you're anything into design, any kind of design whatsoever, check out a new show called Abstract. It's pretty dope. It's a bunch of documentaries about designers from all over the planet. Really, really epic stuff. But my pick, actually, I heard about this on this show called the Maccast, made by some old git, one of the oldest podcasters in the world. And I got some school season came back, and I got stuck with Uncle Duty like once a week. And I literally have to take care of my 7-year-old niece. And what I watch on TV and what's okay for her to watch on TV are nowhere near the same ballpark. So not having kids of my own, not knowing what to do, I listened to Adam and I pulled up this Common Sense Media app. It's an iPhone app, yeah, or a website. And then so when I say, you know, she says, "Hey, I want to watch so-and-so," I look at it real quick and check the approval ratings of what I, literally overprotective parents, but it's probably much better than what I would allow. I would have her pour Uncle a glass of whiskey and sit down with me. So it tells you, this deals with friendship. This deals with, you know, fighting or altercations. This deals with, you know, various topics, you know, like things that they might need to learn and how it's handled. But it also tells you, like, what age group should watch it and are they going to get it? Does it touch into things like cattiness? I was very shocked to find out a show that my sister-in-law allows her to watch because she probably doesn't know has all the little girls walk around being catty and talking about who's beautiful and who's fat. And I'm like, if your mom knew that show did that, she probably wouldn't let you watch it. So I had to show it to my sister-in-law on this app. Like, don't let her watch Wings or whatever that thing is about the little bitchy butterflies or elves or whatever you call those things. What do you call girls with fairies? Yeah.
Oh, you're talking, like, about
she
Wings.
Can't watch that no. Yeah, she can't watch that no more. That's a little too harsh for a 7-year-old, you know? And then, sure as grits as groceries, Common Sense Media was like, take that show and delete it from Netflix. So yeah, I mean, thanks, Adam. First of all, you gave me something cool, but it's been a nice tool, and we've been using it for about a month now. And my sister-in-law's happy, I'm happy, and Emma's happy because I get to let her decide what to watch. I did kind of bump the line on Lemony Snicket's. It says it was too old for her. She loves that. love that. And I just had to explain to her about dead people. That was all, but you know.
The thing about that app that is great is it lets you decide, you know, what's appropriate for your kids, because everybody's different and every kid is different in terms of their maturity and what they can handle. And, you know, like my older one doesn't like scary stuff. She just doesn't like scary stuff and doesn't want to watch it. So, you know, and the younger one can handle that stuff. And so what's great about Common Sense Media is it not only will tell you, it gives sort of a rating for all different things, like how scary it is, you know, what, how much sexual content is in it, how much violence is in there. But then you can tap in and it goes into real descriptive detail on this is why this is ranked this high. You know, there's this scene and that scene and this happens in that scene. And then you can sort of pick. And not only that, it also lets parents give an age rating and kids give an age rating. And it's funny to see how those two are different sometimes. Like parents mm-hmm. will rate it sometimes lower or higher in terms of age than the actual kids who are rating it. So it's a really helpful tool in sort of figuring out, yeah, can I let my kids? And I use it a lot for like old stuff that like I watched when I was a kid. I'm often very shocked. It's like, we should watch this movie that I watched in the 80s. And then I go read the description. I'm like, no, we're not watching this movie that I watched when I was your age in the 80s. Mm-hmm. It's not appropriate.
That's because we were a little bit more worldly, honestly, than kids today. I'm surprised at the stuff they don't know that I knew by that time.
My parents just didn't pay that much attention.
I was seven by seven. I was already stealing cars.
Anyway.
That was a bad joke. Anyway, thank you, Adam. It's really been really beneficial in the fam, so I appreciate stuff I learned in that MacCast, which I normally listen to when I'm taking a dump.
Ditto.
Just a bonus, also add the app Kids in Mind. It's a little more, it's a much more conservative app, but it goes into a little bit more detail than Common Sense Media. And I also point out, Common Sense Media ratings are on iTunes and Apple TV. They do give the age rating in the little description for iTunes movies.
Thank you.
We get a real problem with, we'll sit and look at an age rating for stuff and a description of something and think, well, that'll be fine for Ellis. And he sits down and then all of a sudden they deal with felching or something like that. And you're kind of like, oh, no, right, okay, this isn't appropriate. And he'll turn around and go, no, it's okay, I know what felching is. Like, what? And that's the hard part is the fact of, my son doesn't know what felching is, by the way, before you write to me. But that's the hard part of them coming out with something and you going, you shouldn't know about that. And he goes, I already know about it. What's the problem? And there is a bit he then that goes, oh, okay, that's a fair point, actually. What is the problem?
For us too, it's partially about avoiding things that are going to bring up topics that we don't want to have a conversation about yet.
Doc's just looked at felching.
You're correct, because I didn't know, and I'm 50. I was like, holy crap, what the hell? What? That's disgusting. Dude, were you a mule biker?
It depends whether you're the rodent in question or not.
Should I go incognito before I look this up on Google?
Oh, hell yeah. Well, if your wife checks your history and she's not liberal. Yeah. I mean, if you can talk about anything with your wife, then no, fine, just go for it. But
okay.
If your kids use your profile, hell no. Oh, Lee's saying no, definitely self-search on, so that's something he's obviously looked for in the past. Adam, what have you got for us, mate?
I have a game that I've been waiting for forever to come out. I saw a trailer for this probably about a year ago, and it is a little hidden search game, a lot like Where's Waldo, and it's called Hidden Folks.
Right.
And it's these really detailed black and white little illustrations with great little animations. All the sounds are actually done by voice, so it's got little sound effects. They're all 960 mouth originated sound effects. So it's got a great little sound thing to it. And each level you go in and you're given little characters and objects that you're supposed to find in these massive scenes, and you can kind of zoom in and out, and you can scroll around on your iPad. It's available for iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, Android, Mac, you know, all the above. So whatever platform you want to get it on. On iOS, I think it's $3.99 US was the price on it, and well worth it. No in-app purchase or anything like that. And sometimes you'll have to like move objects out of the way or slide open doors or you know, take manhole covers off or dig underground or whatever it might be. But there's different ways to find the little things that you're looking for. And it's just a fun little casual game with great artwork and a great price. And we're really enjoying it. We even tried it on the Apple TV, and it even sort of worked because you can kind of zoom in and zoom out. It's actually kind of a fun challenge on Apple TV. But cool. I think for me, playing on the iPad Pro is probably the best screen to put it on just because I've got old eyes.
Yeah. No, that looks appealing. I'm trying to think of, it's like the pictures you get at the dentist, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like if you like highlights, it's a hidden picture game. So if you like highlights or Where's Waldo kind of thing, it's exactly like that.
Yeah. Excellent. Patrice, what have you got for us, mate?
I have an app for you. I mean, basically,
this, by the way. I like this a lot. Go for it.
Yes, I hope so. Yeah. It's fitting for the weekend. It's something, I mean, it's the end of the week. If you want to get a drink, there is a really cool app by the guys from Studio Neat.
Hello.
You might know them from the Gill, for example, or the Neat Ice Kit. I mean, they also do some cocktail-related things. And the app is called, I didn't mention it, the app is called Highball. And it is basically just a cocktail recipe app, collection app. They have a great set of the standard cocktails, a big library of it already. I think you can add your own, and it is, I mean, really, really cool. It's free, so, I mean, go get it, and then go to Studio Neat, to their website, and buy some of their stuff to support them, because they're really, really cool.
They've really missed a trick here, though, haven't they?
Yeah, they have.
If you're going to make a cocktail app, the one you need to do is you need to put it up. You need to make it look like a proper cocktail app and say it's free. And you go, oh, great. So you download it. And then all the ones with alcohol in need to be an in-app purchase.
Yes.
You sell a fortune that way.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that would have been it. But they offered it for free. They said they don't want to make any money with that app. It's just something small they wanted to do. But they sell hardware. That's more their stuff. But, so that's why I said go to the website and support them that way, or go to the Kickstarters. I think they have one running right now.
Good stuff, mate. Cool. Kyle, what have you got for us?
I've got an app also. I was actually looking for, we had an old iPad 2 laying around. We kind of use it for media things and stuff, but a lot of time we leave it in front of the entertainment center. We just put it there and use Apple Music on it. I was kept getting sick and tired of having to get up and change if I want to listen to stuff. And I was wondering, is there a remote for my iPhone to control an iPad? And there is. It's called Tango Remote.
You got a link?
And yes, I do.
So explain what this does again, then. Go on.
It, at first, I thought it was only going to work with your library that was on the iPad. But no. It actually works with Apple Music, too. So if you have an Apple Music subscription, then it will load in your library that it sees in your music selection. The app then will run as a media player, taking all your audio from your Apple Music. It will load it up, and then you will use the same app on your phone as the remote. And then you can add songs to queue, create playlists. It really is really, really, really cool. It basically, it's a remote for your iPad, for your music library.
That sounds amazing. It sounds simple, but amazing, because it's not something that... I'm a bit lost there. I need to sit and read that, because I've been half listening as I've been trying to get the graphic up, so I haven't concentrated.
You just remotely control your Apple Music library that's, say, on your iPad, and you can control it with the remote that's on your iPhone. And you don't have to get up. You don't have to use your you can have your iPad across the room. You don't have to think about it anymore. And
so I don't understand that, because your iPad's across the room. Why isn't your iPad not in your hand?
If you say you have it hooked up for like what we use it for sometimes, it's just there at the media center. We use Bluetooth over the stereo system.
So we just leave it there. Okay, got you. So it's It's not for visual stuff a bit more. It's a bit more musicy rather than...
Okay, sorry, mate. If you want to use your iPad as a media server, because it sounds like, Kyle, correct me if I'm wrong, you need to have the music library loaded on that iPad that you're remote controlling.
You got to have the library on there. However, though, it doesn't have to exist on the iPad because it does work
with Apple
Music. Because
it's drawing from... Yes, got you now. But I was sitting thinking, why are you watching the iPad across the room? You're not. You're listening. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. So this would be a great way to take a second old iPad and hook it up to your media center and have it be your Apple Music portal.
Yep.
I feel a bit of a wanker now. Sorry.
It is a little expensive though. I mean, I think it was nine bucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a little expensive, but it is the only thing I've seen on the App Store that does the job. And it does it really, really, really well. I mean, and we just left the iPad there on the media center now, and you don't think about it anymore. You can just control the whole music library. At first, I thought you had to download everything from, like, your Apple Music into the device, but no, you could just leave it be. It just sees the Apple Music library as your library and imports everything in automatically.
Awesome.
Does this really mean you don't have an Apple TV?
No, I got rid of Apple TV already. I'm on Chromecast now on the entire house.
Big move. 4K Apple TV coming. Don't think I'll buy it.
No, I won't be buying it. No. Not enough.
I need
yet.
That to go in my new $300 4K TV.
It's just accessory bill for you, mate, isn't it? Life is just one long Amazon accessory.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm not one to talk. I'm okay. Chuck, what have you got for us, mate?
So I'm going to follow Doc's lead, which by the way has served me well throughout my life, and I'm going to do a quick TV pick, and then another longer thing. So the TV pick is something that I think everybody in the world probably knows about, except me. At least it feels like it, and it's a TV show called Halt and Catch Fire. You guys aware of that?
Yeah.
So it takes place in the early 80s in the computer industry, and it's about a bunch of people who work for a company called Cardiff Electric, and they're trying to make an IBM clone, you know, right around the time where all that stuff was happening and when you actually, you know, put chips on boards and the kind of stuff that I remember back in the day. So it's really cool. It's very interesting. It's really well done. Acting is terrific. Stars a guy named Lee Pace, who you might remember from The Hobbit and Guardians of the Galaxy, a couple other things. The writing is terrific. The whole feel is just perfect. I mean, it really immerses you back in that 1980s culture. I love it. It started in 2014, and I believe it's still going on with new episodes.
Yes.
It's produced by AMC, but you can find it on Netflix and Amazon. I'm just beginning season two right now, and I think it's fantastic. So check it out if you're one of the few who don't already know about it.
Yeah, I mean it is definitely not 100% accurate. They lumped in a lot of things, but it's a great show and a great story. Simply, I don't care. I mean, I was born in the 80s. I don't remember it anyway. I don't care. It's a great story. Yeah. It's got great people.
Shut up, Patrice. Shut up.
Shut up. It's a great show. Yeah,
if you're damn child.
You grew up in that time period. It's awesome. I love that show.
And then if you really think about it, it's like an amalgamation of the original Packard Bell and Compaq. Like the Packard Bell and Compaq stories intertwined. And a little bit of, I wanted to call it NEC, but it's not NEC, but I forget the other company. Anyway, so it's partially accurate, but they had to make it more entwined to keep people stuck to it. So it's good. Though. I love it.
Yeah,
and, I mean, there's
I feel like you guys
would
watch it the same way a doctor would watch a medical drama. You know, you can't take it literally all the time. Just kind of suspension of disbelief and enjoy.
Yeah.
And then the other is an app for both iOS and the Mac called Duet Display, which you may have heard of. So it turns your iPad into a second display. There are a few apps that already do that. This one, one of the key differences or key benefits of it is it connects your devices through your lightning cable, so the lag is almost zero. So you know, very, very real time. It's got a lot of options about changing the resolution and the refresh rate and things like that, so you get the best performance for whatever your devices are and the best matching resolution, so that you can go from screen to screen seamlessly. So it's really nice to have that second monitor. What brought me over to it and made me want to try it out is it has support for Touch Bar. So it'll put a Touch Bar on your iPad that you can use. So it's a little different experience because it's not flat with the keyboard and it's not right in front of it. It is on the display itself. But if you wanted to check out Touch Bar and aren't in the market for a new laptop, it gives you the option to do that and gives you a little flavor, a little taste of it. Another neat thing that it does is with an in-app purchase, actually a subscription, it'll turn it into a high-quality graphics display. So you can use your Apple Pencil with it and do some neat things in Photoshop and Illustrator and other graphics programs. Sort of turns it into a nice Wacom tablet that you can use along with your Mac. It is normally $20 for the core app. Right now it appears to be on sale for $10. So if you're interested, it might be a good time to grab it. And then, like I said, if you want to unlock the graphics display part of it, graphics tablet, that's a subscription, and that's $20 a year. So it's a little pricey, but if it's something that you really can use, it's certainly a lot cheaper than buying a dedicated tablet. So Duet Display, yeah, the thing URL in the link.
I got Duet at the start, and the thing that killed it for me was the lag, most definitely. So if that's gone, that's a big part.
Yeah, it is gone.
If you hardwire gone. It.
Yeah.
Right.
I hated the lag on it. I loved the idea, but I hated the lag. That was a key.
Yeah. Yeah.
DuetDisplay.com if you want to get it. My cool thing is I've decided that this summer I'm going to do more with 3D because... I've had a couple of customers who said to me, can you do 3D imaging of work sites and things like that? And I've used 360 apps that are available on iOS. And I thought, what I'm going to get for myself is I'm going to get myself a 3D thing, and I'm going to learn how to do it properly, how to make the right result. So I bought this thing, and it's called VR Box, virtual reality glasses. And it's just, I can't get over how well it's made. I mean, it's got a nice little quilted thing there, look, with the aerated breathing stuff. And you can move the diopters backwards and forwards, and you can move them left and right to get the alignment correct. And I can't get out. It takes an iPhone 7 Plus or less, and it's got like a little spring-loaded thing here that helps with it. And it was £11. £11.
Wow.
That's like $2.
Yeah. Almost.
So I was blown away, absolutely blown away. VR Box virtual reality glasses, and and it's not perfect, but it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, for £11, you can't really say anything about it.
No, I was blown away by it. And like I said, the fact it takes a 7 Plus, that's the key part. Because if you get a Google Cardboard, you stick the thing in it, and it's crap. It doesn't take a 7 Plus at all. It falls to pieces. So well worth doing. Get it on Amazon. Just search VR. That's all you got to do.
Better than my ViewMaster.
Dude,
Has that
it's
got like
actually $11.94 on Amazon.
This you got to hold to your face, and you can't adjust anything.
Yeah.
And it was $30.
There you go. See? Cool. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
I would prefer if you keep your hands off me, but you can find me all over the internet at DOCROCK. That's it.
Excellent.
And somewhere because of roasting meat and drinking whiskey.
Yeah, Doc, it's because of your hospital gown. That's why.
Mate, those legs poking out from that hospital gown.
Bruh, that was pretty funny. When I decided to do the picture, I didn't think it would be that funny. But after I posted it, oh my God, it's hilarious.
The comments are great.
Once you take off that old man knee brace, you're a good looking man.
I'm about to be in that knee brace. I'm probably going under surgery maybe in the next 3 or 4 weeks here.
I hope you schedule the surgery around appearances on the Mac Show.
Oh, yeah, I'll be in the hospital bed with the...
Too right. That's what I want, is commitment from people.
No, yes. Either that or Chuck's got to be me for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
No one can be you, Doc.
No.
Thanks, Chuck.
Adam, where are you, mate?
You can find me at MacCast.com, MacCast on iTunes, MacCast on Twitter and most social media, and also at the iOS show at the iOSshow.com.
And I may have only been in the mirror, but you've been in the BBC, mate, which is...
Oh, boy.
Awesome. Awesome. Where are you, Kyle? I don't know why you're the wrong way around from Patrice. Sorry, mate. But...
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, you can find me at KyleSwagger.com, KyleSwagger on Twitter, and, of course, 4 days a week here on the BTN Network on the new show.
And it's and you're sitting going, why are you twaddling on?
What do you mean, like
one, it's 1 a.m. for you, isn't it, or something stupid, or 2 a.m.?
It's all right. Yeah, it's all right.
It's okay.
I can survive with 4 hours of sleep. It's good.
Sorry, mate. Patrice, where are you, pal?
Every week here on the Mac Show, also on two other podcasts, deconstruct.tv and my own Casual Kitchen podcast, casualkitchen.net, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent. And last but by no means least, welcome back, Mr. Latornis. It's been missing without you. Where are you, pal?
Well, apparently I'm here every other Friday from now on, so.
Yeah, I got you saying yes to that, so that counts. That's a contract right there.
So look for me here. Elsewhere, you can find me on Twitter, at Chuck Latornis, and then occasionally on Macworld, macworld.com, macobserver.com, and if you want to see the things that don't really fit in any of those places, check out randomaccess.com, 2 M's, 2 C's, 2 S's.
The thing in your favor is that I do the bookings at the moment, and to say I'm not good at the bookings is actually a compliment, because...
You're getting better, actually.
I'm doing all right. I'm getting better.
Better than Paul ever did.
Oh, no. He doesn't listen to me. Don't worry, because he doesn't listen to this shit. He wouldn't get back. My name's Ewan Rankin. You get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We got the big show at 8 p.m. coming up. We got live shows next Friday as normal. So we'll see you then, 4 o'clock in the afternoon for the Mac Show. 8 p.m. for the Big Tech Show. Yes, we'll be here. Thanks for listening. I'm going to go and cough. I'm going to get a frog in your throat.
You made it.
You got to talk.
You made it.
You did it, yeah.
See what happens when you talk about the hospital gown? Your instant idea is to cough.